That's also true. Today's daf is Pei Aleph and Yuma. We are on Pei. We're on Pei Amud Aleph. We're starting at the two daf stores above the Amud. Thank the Lupin Foundation for sponsorship of the daf. The learning that we do is Zecher Nishmas, Lo Zaltzman Lupin. We finished yesterday the discussion of a kosevis. So the Mishnah says that in order to violate Yom Kippur, so one has to eat the amount of food that is the same to the kosevis hagasa, to the plump date. How much is the kosevis hagasa? So that was yesterday's daf. The Gemara went on a lengthy discussion, nearly a blot of Gemara yesterday, dedicated to the topic of how large is the kosevis hagasa. So here's what we know. It's greater than a kazayas, that we know for sure. But then what we don't know is relative to the beitza. Beitza is larger than a kazayas. Beitza is the size of an egg. So is the kosevis hagasa on Yom Kippur larger than a beitza or smaller than a beitza? And that was a machlokas yesterday between the Amoraim. Rav Yehuda was of the opinion that the size of it was larger than a beitza. Rav Yehuda's position begins on Ayin Tes Amud Aleph, right in the middle of the Amud. And then Rav Zvid's position, which begins on Ayin Tes Amud Beis and continues through Pei Amud Aleph, Rav Zvid's position is that the kosevis is less than the size of a beitza. The Rambam adopts Rav Zvid's position, and as we pointed out yesterday, it makes the most sense in the context of the Mishnah Brachos. Mishnah Brachos says that you reach the point of satiation of svia when you eat the amount of a beitza. And on Yom Kippur, the only point that we're looking for is not for satiation, but just yishuv das, just to be comforted, to remove the hunger pangs. So obviously, you remove the hunger pangs well before you get satiated. So it sounds like from the simple reading in the Mishnah Brachos, that Rav Zvid is correct, that the size of a kosevis hagasa, that of a date, is going to be smaller than that of a beitza. Okay, that's where we ended yesterday's daf. We are continuing Hashosim al Lugmav. We're now talking about drinking on Yom Kippur. So in terms of the amount of eating food on Yom Kippur, so as we've just established, one has to eat a kosevis hagasa to violate the iser of inisim es nafsho sechem. What about drinking? So the Mishnah says malo lugmav, a cheekful. Now malo lugmav is actually in the plural, so it's actually cheekfuls, which sounds like it's the amount of drink that would occupy both of your cheeks, your right and your left. The Gemara later on will ask a very simple question, a pretty obvious question. When we talk about food, there's a standard measurement. Good, we're slightly unsure of what that standard measurement actually is, but regardless, so it's a standard measurement. It's kosevis hagasa. But when it comes to drink, it's malo lugmav, meaning whatever your cheek can fill. Not all cheeks are the same, not all people are the same. There's smaller people than larger people. The Gemara later on will point out that there's an Og Melech HaBashan, who is an extraordinarily large human being, and meanwhile, his cheekfuls obviously is going to be a lot. So the Gemara later on will ask, how come when it comes to drink, there is a subjective nature to the amount that you drink on Yom Kippur, where it comes to eating, it's an objective shear of a kosevis hagasa. Stay tuned, the Gemara will ask that question later on. But first things first, however, we're in the Gemara on Pei Amud Aleph. We're starting on the bottom, towards the bottom at the two dots. I'm Rav Yehuda, I'm Shmuel, lo, malo lugmav mamash, ela kol she'ilu yisalken al tzad echad, v'yera'em kim lo lugmav. So one serious correction, and that is, it's not a malo lugmav in the sense that it's not cheeks, but it's rather cheek. One cheek. In other words, the way to understand the Mishnah is it's one cheekful. How do you get that from the Mishnah? The Mishnah says the words malo lugmav. So Rav Yehuda, quoting Rav Shmuel's an explanation, says, if you were to move it to the other side, you know how you swish around in your mouth? So in other words, you have one cheek full, and then you basically switch it around to the other side, and it occupies the other cheek. So it could appear as if both cheeks are full. I understand when one is puffed up, the other one isn't. But you can go back and forth, and it's ki'ilu. It's as if both cheeks are full. But the truth of the matter is that the shear is actually one cheekful, not two cheekfuls. So, So the Gemara says, okay, but I'm bothered by a very simple question. The Lashon HaMishnah. The Mishnah says cheekfuls. Ema kim lo lugmav. So what we're going to do is we're going to just either the Gemara is actually editing the Mishnah, right, by inserting the Chaf, or this is our understanding of the Mishnah. Either way, but we're going to add the Chaf in front of the word Malo Lugmav, the Chaf HaDimyon. It is not literally two cheekfuls, it's kim lo lugmav, it's like two cheekfuls. meaning again that you fill up one cheek full and you can go back and forth between the two cheeks, and that's what the Mishnah means, but the Mishnah does not literally mean two cheekfuls. Okay? So what Rav Yehuda Mishmol is doing really is basically he is being machmir, he's being stringent. Whereas in the Mishnah it says that in order to be chayv on Yom Kippur you have to have two cheekfuls. Now what he's saying is, no, that's not true, it's actually only one cheekful. Meisvei, the Gemara again challenges Rav Yehuda Mishmol based on a Braisa, Kama Yishta Vihei Chayev, Beishamar Omer Mervias. Okay, so here we have a Braisa. Braisa speaks out more than one opinion, four opinions to be exact. So Beit Shammai says you have to drink a revias. Okay, so he gives a standard shear of the amount of drink that you drink on Yom Kippur to violate Yom Kippur. Beit Shammai says Melo Lugmav. Beit Shammai says Melo Lugmav. Okay, that's what we kind of expected, as our Mishnah probably is going to reflect the halacha, and our Mishnah is reflecting the opinion of Beit Shammai. Rabbi Yehuda Amar Mishum Rabbi Lazar Kimlo Lugmav. Then we have a third sheet of Rabbi Yehuda who quotes the name of Rabbi Lazar Kimlo Lugmav, and Rabbi Yehuda Ben Beseir Amar Kedei Gemia. The amount that it takes to swallow, the amount of liquid that it takes to swallow, I guess in one gulp. Now, what's the problem? The problem is that Beis Hillel does not say kimlo lugmav, he says melo lugmav, literally, which sounds like the amount that you drink on Yom Kippur to be chayev is two cheekfuls, not one cheekful. So the Gemara says, okay, but I don't think it's much of an issue. Mi'adifa mi'masnisen. Look, is it really worse than our Mishnah? Do kimna kadesh yireh? Hachinami kadesh yireh. So look what we did. In our Mishnah, we gave a loose interpretation of our Mishnah. So can't we do the same thing in the Braisa as well? What's the big deal? So the Gemara says, no, it's not the same. Heinu Rav Elazar. So the Gemara says, because look, in the Braisa that we just quoted, there are four opinions. Compare opinion number two to opinion number three. Opinion number two was Beit Hillel. He said, melo lugma. Then what was opinion number three? That was Rav Yehuda. He said, kimlo lugmav. So when you put the two side by side, you realize one is speaking literally and the other one is speaking figuratively. So although in the Mishnah we were able to reinterpret the Mishnah, you can't do that with the Braisa, because the Braisa actually has back to back one opinion, Beis Hillel, of melo lugmav, and the next, which is kimlo lugmav. So it sounds like Beis Hillel means literally two cheekfuls. So the Gemara says, no. Here's what we'll do. Once again, we will say that Beis Hillel is not to be taken literally. Beis Hillel actually means one cheekful. So then the question just kind of begs itself. So then what's the difference between Beis Hillel versus Rebbe Lazar? They're both now saying that if I drink one cheekful on Yom Kippur, I'm going to be chayv. So what's the difference between Melo Lugmav, which was Shitas Beis Hillel, versus Kimlo Lugmav, Shitas Rav Yehuda? So the Gemara says, Lugmav Dachuk. What does that mean exactly? Take a look at Rashi. Rashi, second wide line on the Amud, towards the bottom of the Amud. LeBeis Hillel be'inan kedeshi yasakel tzadecha v'yira kemlo lugmav berevach. According to Beis Hillel, that it's one cheekful, it's got to be full. It's got to be like one totally engorged cheekful. Whereas the Rebbe Lazar kemlo lugmav dachok. And according to Rebbe Lazar, cheekful, but no, it doesn't have to be full, doesn't have to be, your cheek doesn't have to be totally puffed up. Okay, so the Gemara says that's the difference between Beis Hillel versus Rebbe Lazar, but actually, in actuality, they both only mean one cheekful, not two. Matzkel of Rav Oshi Emkein Hayalei Mikula Beis Shammai Mechumei Beis Hillel. So the Gemara says, okay, but now it comes out as something very strange. Beis Shammai is being Mekel. Beis Hillel is being Machmer. Let's think about this. The Gemara now is suggesting that, I'm sorry, the Braisa told us how much you have to drink on Yom Kippur to be Chayav. So Beit Shammai comes out with a shear revius. That's a quarter of a log. In our terminology, we're not 100% sure where we have a range, but you're talking 3 ounces, 4 ounces, right? Maybe not even that much. Okay, and meanwhile, Beis Hillel says, Amlo Lugmav, a cheekful. So in other words, according to Beis Hillel, you'll drink a lot less on Yom Kippur, and you'll be chayav. Right? A cheekful is less than a log. Okay? And the problem with that is that that's atypical. We don't normally have Beis Hillel coming out on the side of Chumrah. We normally have Beis Hillel coming out on the side of Kula. And yes, there are occasions where Beis Hillel is Machmir, but all those occasions are documented. We have Mishnayos that tell us that the occasions where Beis Hillel is Machmir, and this is not one of those occasions. So we're kind of stuck, meaning Beis Hillel now is coming out to be Machmir. So Amar Leik, Yichil Be'og Melech Habashin Yichil. So the Gemara says, well, the question was being asked relative to Og Melech Habashin. meaning. Og Melech HaBasha, now the Rashi says, don't take this super literally. It just simply means someone who's really large. Somebody who's really large. How much does he have to drink on Yom Kippur? So now let's go around the room. Well, let's not go around the room, but let's start with Beis Hillel. How much you have to drink? So Beis Hillel will say, Melolugmav, a cheekful. His cheek is massive. His cheekful will be massive. So in other words, according to Beis Hillel, he's got to drink a lot in order to be chayev. Now, Beit Shammai, what do you say? Revius. Well, Revius, that's for him, a Revius is nothing. He's a huge man. A Revius is 4 ounces of drink. That's enough? Beit Shammai says, yes, that's enough. Oh, in this context, Beit Shammai comes out to be the Machmir, Beit Hillel comes out to be the Mekel. So the Gemara says that it's not objectively so that Beit Shammai in this case is a Mekel. Beit Shammai's position here could result in a Chumrah. And now the Gemara asks the question. I don't understand when it comes to food, there's an objective shear. That of a kosevas agasa. That of a plump date. And meanwhile, when it comes to drink, it's a subjective shear based on the person's size of the cheek, as we just got done saying. That when it comes to a giant who's got a giant cheek, he's not going to be chayav on Yom Kippur until he fills his cheek, which could be more than a revius, could be much more than a revius. And yet, it's subjective. So why by food is it an objective shear, and by drink a subjective shear? And the Gemara's answer, and get ready for this refrain, because we're going to keep hearing this again and again. The rabbis did testing. In other words, they looked for the point of Yishuv Hadas until the point where not where we're satiated, but we no longer are afflicted. When it comes to food, an objective amount of food, it creates enough tranquility, enough respite from the hunger pangs. When it comes to drink, no, it's a subjective nature. It's one cheekful. Meaning, to put it simply, the rabbis know. The Gemara says, "Maskev Rav Zera v'cholal v'kula bekakosevus vog mel chabashim bekakosevus." So the Gemara says, oh, and again, we're gonna go over basically similar type question, same answer, similar type question. I understand a giant person is eating a kosevus agasa, a date full of food. Okay, he's good. A small person's going to eat the same date full of food. Oh, he's good. I don't understand. A larger person is going to have a larger appetite, don't you think? Don't you think that a date full of food is not going to be enough to satiate him? The Gemara's answer is, Kimlu l'rabbanan. Once again, the rabbis know. Meaning, when it comes to food, even if you're a huge man, you eat a kosevas hagasa, you're okay. The hunger pangs are gone. Now, how much Yishuv Hadas does the person receive? So the Gemara admits, it's not the exact same, meaning a smaller person eating a kosevas agasa worth of food will be fine. A huge person eating a kosevas agasa food, he'll still be hungry, but he'll have Yishuv Hadas. The Gemara says again, when it comes to food, it's a standard measurement. It's a standard volume of food. It's the volume of food of kosevas agasa. So the Gemara says, now let's think about this. You have a nice fatty piece of meat, volume size of kosevas agasa, versus you have a salad, volume size kosevas agasa. Now, does the salad fill you up? No. Does a piece of meat fill you up? Yes. Even at the same volume. So the Gemara says, does that make sense? Amar le Abaye. Right, ready again, third time. So the Gemara says once again, yes, that's correct. In other words, when it comes to Yishuv Hadas, it's the same volume of food that will provide the Yishuv Hadas. Granted, you will have more Yishuv Hadas when it comes to eating meat. You have a nice piece of meat. Volume size kosevas agasa, you will be experiencing a tremendous amount of Yishuv Hadas. And if all you had is a salad, you will have not as much Yishuv Hadas, but again, both of them will provide Yishuv Hadas. Maskov Rava Kazais Bechte Echilas Pras Kosevas. Bechte Echilas Pras. Another question. The amount of time that you have to eat the food, meaning, and this is true regarding all Achilas, and it's also going to be true in Yom Kippur as well. Regarding any Achila, right, let's talk Yisurim. Right, I eat Nevela. Okay, I don't eat Nevela, but if I were to eat Nevela, So how much nevela do I have to eat in order to get malchus? The answer is a kazayas. But just is that it? No, that's an incomplete answer. You have to eat a certain amount within a certain time. A kazayas of nevela within a certain amount of time. What is that amount of time? It's the amount of time the Gemara says repeatedly is bichdei achilas pras. The amount of time it takes you to eat a half a loaf of bread. Okay, the contemporary poskim try to give that a number. They try to quantify that. You'll see somewhere of a range of 4 minutes, 9 minutes. You know, some go even as short as 2 minutes. Okay, but whatever the case is. In other words, it's quantified by amount and time. So the Gemara says, now let me get this straight. By eating the kosevis on Yom Kippur, are we also going to be quantified in the same amount of time? And as we learned in yesterday's daf, the kosevis is greater than a kazayas. Don't you think the amount of time should be extended? And once again, Abaye's answer, standard answer, fourth time we're answering this, the rabbis know. The rabbis know when it comes to Yishuv Hadas, and again, they must have done studies, they must have done tests, perhaps it's also part of the Mesorah, right? Kim Lahula Rabbanan just simply means they got it. They got this one, right? We have to have a certain amount of Amunas Chachamim, right, a little bit of faith and trust in our chachamim that they know, and they know that when it comes to eating on Yom Kippur, Yishuv Hadas will come only when we eat the kosevis within Kidei Achilas Pras. Maskav la Rava Bechdei Achilas Pras. Sorry, we'll take that word out. So Bechdei Achilas Pras, Chatzi Pras, Bechdei Achilas Pras. So the Gemara says, okay, but what about the following? We also know, we go all the way back to Masechta Shabbos. It's been some time ago, so we were back there. We go back to the beginning of the Masechta, and we learn together that there are 18 gzeras that were enacted by Beis Shammai. Yudches Dover. And of those 18 gzeras that were enacted, one of them is that if you eat tummy food, you become tummy. Now, min ha-Torah, that's not so. One occasion in the Torah where you eat tummy food, you become tameh, and that is the carcass of a dead bird that was not shechted. Okay, nevelas of tahor, and it has to be a kosher dead bird. But generally speaking, though, you eat tummy food, you don't become tameh. You become tameh by touching, by carrying, by being under the same roof if it's tumas mace, but you don't become tameh by eating tameh food. Fine. But one of the Yudches Tavar, one of the 18 enactments that was enacted by Beis Shammai, is that if you eat a certain amount of tamei food, you become tamei. Rabbinically, it's one of the Yudches Tavar. And not only do you become tamei, but you have to eat the tamei food in an amount of time that Kdei Achilas Pras. Meaning the time constraint is still the standard time constraint. Now, how much food do you need to eat? Chatzi pras. Chatzi pras is a measurement that's larger than the kazayas, larger than the kosevis. It's a large amount of food. So in other words, what basically the Gemara is wondering is the following. Why is it when it comes to tumas gevia, that's the tuma that a person arrives at when he eats tummy food, where the amount that he has to eat is a chatzi pras, which is a lot of food, but he's only going to become tamei if he eats it within the shear of kedei achilas pras. Why should that be? Amalei Rav Papa, hanach l'tumah gvia d'lav d'oraisa. So the Gemara's answer, Rav Papa says, settle down everyone, this is a tumah d'rabbanan. This is not a tumah d'oraisa. So in other words, this was a tumah enacted by the rabbis. They want to be lenient, by all means they can be lenient. And this is a leniency, because you only become tamei if you eat that much food within Kedei Achilas Pras, meaning that if you space it out and you eat the tamei food not within the Kedei Achilas Pras, you're not tamei. So, Hanach, the Gemara says, leave it alone. This is Tumah Derabbanan, it's not Tumah Deraisa. The Gemara just simply clarifies, and we have Rav Papa Hachi, V'aksi, V'lo Titamu Bahem, and Nitmei Sambam, V'amar Rav Papa Mikan, Shetumas Gviya Daraisa. Rav Papa quotes a pasuk in Darshan, the pasuk Mikan from here, meaning it sounds like it's a Din Daraisa. So the Gemara's answer is Mid Rabbanan across Machta Ba'ama. So the Gemara says, no, it's not a Din Daraisa, it's a Din Derabbanan. What about the fact that we just quoted a pasuk? Answers the Gemara. That is a asmachta. That is what the Chachamim do. They take a gzera de Rabbanan, they hook it onto a pasuk in Chumash. They do this often. This is what's called asmachta. Not to give it the force of a din daraisa, perhaps as a memory aid, perhaps as a connection to the Torah Shebichsav. Whatever the purpose is, it's asmachta, but it's not a din daraisa. Adkan. Good. That takes us through the discussion of drinking on Yom Kippur. Again, to put it to briefly summarize and to put it succinctly, you drink a one cheekful of liquid on Yom Kippur, you're going to be chayav, and this is a subjective shear based on the size of your particular cheek. Unlike when it comes to food, it's an objective shear of a koseves agasa. When it comes to drink, it is a subjective shear of a of your particular cheek. And why is it different? The Gemara's answer, and the Gemara said this answer four times over. Kim lahula rabbanan, the Chachamim have established that when it comes to drink, you achieve yishev adas only when you are when you drink your cheekful of liquid. What did the Mishnah say? Kol ha'ochlem, the foods combine. I take various foods and I put them together, so they will combine to get me a shear. Amar Papa achal umso milcha mitzaref. What if I have meat with salt on top of it? Okay, the meat by itself is not a koseves agasa, it's less, but the salt that was added, okay, probably not good for the blood pressure, but the salt you added together with the meat combines for koseves agasa. So the Gemara says in the name of Rav Papa, that combines, that's mitzaref. And Rashi points out, salt by itself is not a food. Right? We don't consider salt to be a food, but when added to meat, providing flavor for the meat, taste for the meat, so then the salt is considered a food, so that it gets you to the shear of koseves, and you would be chayef. Ve'af agav de lav achilu kem da apsa, I said Rashi, the Gemara. Ve'af agav de lav achilu kem da achli inish mitzarfin. Even that's how people eat meat together with salt, and therefore it's mitzarf. Amrish lakish sir shal gabi yerik mitzarfev, l'ka koseves. Once again, we come back to the salad. You have a salad in Yom Kippur. The amount of lettuce you're eating is less than a koseves agasa. And then you put a salad dressing. Now, this may not sound like the most exciting salad dressing, but fish brine, right? The juice that comes off the fish. So you pour that as your salad dressing. The truth of the matter is, it's not that crazy. Fish brine is basically the fat of the fish. I mean, and what's your salad dressing? It's really just fat. I mean, it's oil. Okay? I'm not trying to put it, right, I'm not saying that this is what you should try, but it's not so foreign. So Tzir Shagaba Yarek Mitztarif Lakakosev is Biyama Kippurim. So the Gemara says that's gonna be Mitztarif. So if the amount of the two total is a koseves, so then you violated Yom Kippur, pshita. So the Gemara says, now isn't that obvious? The Gemara says it's not so obvious. Ma'u detema mashkahu, because you could have made an argument. The fish brine is a liquid. What did we learn in our Mishnah? Foods and liquids do not combine. Food combines with food. Liquid combines with liquid, but food and liquid don't combine. The argument you could have made, sounds like a great argument, is that the salad and the salad dressing are not going to combine. Salad is a food, salad dressing is a liquid. And now, hakamashmalan kolach shurei uchla, uchlahu. So now the Gemara says, invokes a rule. And that is that anything that accentuates the food, anything that improves the food, has the status of food. Salad dressing, although it's a liquid in property, but because it's enhancing the salad, now has the status of food.
You don't drink salad dressing either.
Generally, yes. I'll agreed. But in property, it's a liquid. But the Gemara says, but the Gemara ends up saying, you're right. It's something that accentuates the food. What about eating achila gasa? Right, you eat in a way that's harmful. Rashi here paints the scenario, and this is a scenario I think we all relate to. Right, Rashi says, what happens on erev Yom Kippur prior to going to shul for Kol Nidre? So what do? We end up eating a lot. Says Rashi, achalele Yom Kippurim al hasova. Now, okay, fine, and you ate well, right? You walk away from that meal, maybe loosening of the belt. You did well. Shayasave misuda shehifsikba v'choma she'achal mishechashicha achila gasa. Now, from that point going forward, you're pretty full. Anything you're eating after that is achila gasa. You're basically stuffing yourself. It's not enjoyable. You're full. You're satisfied. And here you are now, just stuffing more down. This is what we call in halacha, the Gemara here says it, Gemara says it elsewhere as well, achila gasa. This is basically engorging. This is not eating. And halachically, it doesn't have the status of eating. In fact, Reish Lakish says that if you eat achila gasa in Yom Kippur, you're going to be exempt. My time, ashalo su netziv, prat lamazik. Here, this is not eating, this is hezek. You're damaging yourself by eating in these kinds of amounts and these kinds of quantities. And by the way, not only are you damaging yourself, it's not only considered a mazik for you, it's considered a hezek vis-a-vis the food as well. Meaning you're not considered consuming the food. You'll see what I mean in just a moment. In fact, you'll see what I mean just now. Let's say you're a non-kohen, you eat truma. Now, eating truma as a non-kohen, that's a big no-no. You eat truma when you're not a kohen, so you do so deliberately on purpose. You're chayv misa bidei shamayim, right? One step below kares. Two, you just stole from the kohen. That food doesn't belong to you. That food belongs to the kohen. So now, what do you have to do? So you have to reimburse the kohen for that which you took, and furthermore, you have to add a chomish. You have to tack on now another 25%. I know chomish sounds like 20%, but like I say often, trust me, it's 25%. Okay. Anyone who wants to know, I'll do the math with you at another point in time. But anyway, it's 25% that you have to add on in addition to the principal value of whatever truma you ate.
If you're showing your penalty, that's
not... No, this the Karen and Chomish is Bishoge, if he does Bishoge. The Misa B'Dei Shemayim, if he does B'Mezid. The Gemara and Ksuvas in the third parak has a discussion of how one may cancel the other, based on the rule of Kimle B'Darab B'Minei. Yeah, the Gemara and Tzuvah, like around Daf Lamed. Okay, and I don't remember the conclusion, but anyway, okay, that's where you go for that discussion. So anyway, so let's say you eat truma, but you don't eat it comfortably. Again, we're talking about the non-kohen. You don't eat it comfortably. You eat it in a state of achila gasa. You're really full already. You're just stuffing your face. The Gemara says that's not achila, and therefore says the Gemara. Now, you still stole from the kohen, meaning that belonged to the kohen. So you have to reimburse. But you're not reimbursing as an eater of his truma. You're reimbursing as a damager of his truma. The only thing you did is damage his truma. Now, granted, physically you put it in your mouth, you chewed it, you swallowed it. But because you were already full, that doesn't qualify halachically as achila. That's only hezek, and therefore you pay him as a damager, which means that you pay keren, you pay the principal value, but you don't add the chomish, not the extra 25%, because that's only for an ocha. The Gemara says, how do I know that? Because the Torah says, if you were to eat the truma, then and only then do you pay principal tacking on the chomish to 25%. Masha'en came prat lamazik. If you're eating achila gasa, that's not achila, that's just simply damaging. Huh? If you did it intentionally, achay misa b'day shemayim, good question. I don't know the answer. Okay, good. Amar Rav Yirmi, Amar Rav Yochanan, Zar shekosei sa'orim shol truma. Mishalem es hakeren ve'ino mishalem es hachomesh. If you're a non-kohen and you chew on barley grain. In other words, barley grain, we're talking now where it wasn't cooked, it wasn't processed, it was raw, and you're just chewing on it. So, mishalem es hakeren ve'ino mishalem es hachomesh. So once again, that's not eating. You're damaging, in other words, it belonged to the kohen, it says you took it, you stole it, you destroyed it, so you're going to have to reimburse, but you don't have to pay the chomish, because once again, that's not eating. Ki yochal prat lamazik. Amar Rav Shizbi, Amar Rav Yochanan, Zesha Bala Shizifim. You are a non-kohen, and what did you do? You took the Shizifim Shel Truma. Okay, Shizifim? Yeah, right. If you're in the market in Israel, so you know that's the plums. So what did you do as a non-kohen? You took them and you swallowed them whole. Okay, highly not recommended. And you swallowed them whole, and then Hikiyam, you then vomited them out. Va'achlam acher, and somebody else ate it. Now the Gemara is just trying to make a point, and the Gemara is not trying to be grotesque. Obviously, the Gemara is making a point, and what's the point? Risha Mashalim Karen v'Chomish. The first one's considered a consumer. Now I know that sounds strange because you could have argued that's achila gasa, that's disgusting. okay, not recommended, but that's eating, meaning he's hungry, he took the food, he didn't go through the process of chewing, but chewing is not a necessary component to eating. That's not achila. Achila means taking a food, ingesting the food, so that you're full. So even though he didn't chew it, it's still achila. So, and he took it away from the Kohen. So therefore he, the first person, has to pay Keren Chomesh to the Kohen. Now he regurgitated it. And a second person came along and ate it. So what's the second person's liability? Sheni ein mishalem ela demei etzem l'rishon bavad. So the second person now has to pay the first person. The first person acquired it. Okay? Right? However, right? Yes, I'll agree. So the first person acquired it. The second person now, by taking it away from the first person, let's not call it a food anymore, because that's right? That's not what we're going to call it. But, right, the fruit itself, and especially the pits inside the fruit, could be used as fuel. So basically, whatever its value is, what the Gemara here refers to as Demei Eitzim, meaning basically I could use it as fuel, whatever value it is, the second person has to pay the first person. And why second to first? Because the first one acquired it when he swallowed it.
It was illegal for him.
Oh,
what do you want? I thought if somebody eats without chewing, it's not therapy.
Gemara here says it is. Now, it could be that it's plums, and plums are soft, and maybe that's why. Could be, but the Gemara assumes that it's eating. Yeah.
Why would he pay the person that took the tumor? I mean,
because he acquired it. He was Kona.
Yeah, he rejected.
Well, that's it. The eating and the rejecting are considered two separate acts, and it could be Shinui Maisa, right? That's what Ben suggested. Okay, it's okay. It's fine. Ha'ocha v'hashosa ein mitzarfin. Food and drink do not combine. Man tana. Whose authorship is that? Who says that opinion? I'm Rav Chista b'machlok ishnoi Rav Yehoshua. So what Rav Chista would like to do, Rav Chista the Amara, is he's going to align our Mishnah together with the position of Rav Yehoshua. Did not. Because we learned in the Mishnah, Klal Amar Rav Yehoshua Kol Shetumas V'Shiro Shavet Mitzarif Tumas V'Lo Shiro Shiro V'Lo Tumaso Lo Tumas V'Lo Shiro Ein Mitzarifin. Now this is a general rule regarding Tuma contracting Tuma, and that is the following. We know, for example, Nevela. Okay, Nevela is a source of Tuma. It's an Avatuma. How much Nevela has to be there in order for you to contract the Tuma? A Kezias. To what degree Tumah are you going to be by touching the Nevela? Herev Shemesh. Tumas Erev. Meaning that you'll go in the mikvah, you will then wait till nightfall, and you'll become Tahor. Okay, that's Nevela. Good. If I have any other Tumay item that contracts Tumah, or I should say transmits Tumah, to the same degree, meaning till the evening, and the same volume, meaning Kezias, so then they combine, that Tamei item will combine with Nevela. That's the rule of Rav Yehoshua. But if the degree of Tuma is not the same, or if the length of Tuma is not the same, so then they don't combine. If the degree of Tuma is not the same, or the amount of Tuma is not the same, they don't combine. So I'll give you a simple example, and I'm basically saying over Rashi. Rashi says, for example, right, the remains of human body. How much remains of human body do you need in order to become Tameh? A Kezias. How much Nevela of a dead animal gives off Tumah? A Kezias. So in terms of the amount, they're the same. What about degree of Tumah? Or duration of Tumah? Not the same. You touch Nevela, you become Tameh till when? Tonight. Assuming you go to the mikvah. You come into contact with Mace, your Tameh till when? 7 days. So the duration is not the same. So even though the amount is the same, kezias, but the duration is not the same, therefore they don't combine.
The
mace is an avi avosatoma, so then you become an avatoma, right? Nevela is an avatoma, you become a rishon. Okay, you're right about that as well. And this is the rule of Rav Yehoshua. So Rav Yehoshua says in order for things to be combined, they have to be same. That's basically his point. So what the Gemara is doing, what Rav Chis is doing, is the same thing over here. Why don't food and drink do not combine? Because they're not the same.
Is this because
One is bitul, the other one?
No, they just, in other words, they're not the same. That's all. So Rav Nachman Amar Afilu Tamar Rabbanan. Rav Nachman says, I'm not buying into Rav Chista's connection. Leave Rav Yehoshua out of our discussion. Because Afilu Tamar Rabbanan Akan lo kamar Rabbanan Hasam Alalinyan Tuma Adashim Tuma Chadi. The Chachamim say the Tuma combines, even if they're not the same. But you know what? They are the same. Meaning, look more generally at what it is. It's Tuma. It's a source of Tuma. They're going to combine. But over here on Yom Kippur, there's one and only one issue. Does it provide you Yishev Adas? Does it take away the affliction of fasting? So, a little bit of food combined with a little bit of drink is not going to do it. Either a full kosevis of food or a full cheekful of drink. But the two combined will not do it. And again, we'll go back to what we said earlier today. Kim luhu l'rabbanan, meaning the Chachamim have determined that this is so. V'chein. And now the Gemara is going to point out, what we just saw, the exchange that we just saw between Rav Chista and Rav Nachman is going to be the same exchange between Rav Yochanan and Reish Lakish. V'chein amar Reish Lakish b'machlokish nev Rav Yehoshua, he did not klal amar Rav Yehoshua v'chulei. Rav Yochanan amar filo teimer rabbanan ad kan lo kamer rabbanan hasam ela le'inyan tuma. Aval hachem ishum yisuvei daite hu v'adalo k'miyasvei daite. Okay, and I leave that untranslated because essentially the Gemara says it's the same exchange where Reish Lakish wanted to equate the machlokis here to the machlokis in Tuma between Rav Yehoshua and who's ever arguing with Rav Yehoshua. By the way, Rashi points out, we don't know who's arguing with Rav Yehoshua, but we're assuming somebody does because the Mishnah introduces this as this is Rav Yehoshua's position. And Rav Yochanan says, no, the two issues are two separate issues. That's an issue of Shem Tuma. This is an issue of Yishev Hadas. It's different. Achal Vishasa Behelam Echad Einu Chayv Elachatas Achas. You wake up Yom Kippur morning, you forget it's Yom Kippur. All right, you forget. You didn't get enough sleep. You're groggy. You forgot. So what do? You come downstairs and you help yourself. You have some eggs. You have some orange juice. Right? And then all of a sudden, it dawned on you. In other words, your brain caught up with your body. And all of a sudden, you realize today's Yom Kippur. Oh, no. So what's the... So what did you just do? You just ate and drank on Yom Kippur, bishogeg. So now, as we already know, eating and drinking on Yom Kippur is a chiyuv kares, if done intentionally, if done b'mezid. You did a bishogeg, therefore what's your liability? You have to bring a carbon chatas. How many carbon chatas do you need to bring? One carbon chatas. The act of eating and the act of drinking are not considered separate acts vis-a-vis the carbon chatas. It's considered one act, even though it's odd. But we just learned in the previous Mishnah that there are different shiurim. And we just learned in the previous Mishnah, they don't combine. And that's true. And meanwhile, however, regarding the karban, it's considered one act. Acha v'asa malacha. Now let's go back. You wake up in the morning, early morning on Yom Kippur. And you forgot it was Yom Kippur. And so you come downstairs and you help yourself to a nice breakfast. Moreover, you cook the breakfast. So now what did you do? You ate and drank on Yom Kippur and you violated Malacha. And it was Behelam Echad while having forgotten that today was Yom Kippur. So Chayav Chataos or Shnei Chataos. Shtei Chataos. Yeah, you have to bring in two Chataos. Why? Because one Chataos for the eating and drinking and another Chataos for Malacha. Yom Kippur is an Issa Malacha. Yes, it's contrasting to the first point. Meaning the first point was eating and drinking vis-a-vis Karban Chatos is one act. Eating and Malacha vis-a-vis Yom Kippur is considered two acts.
Is it similar to Shabbat that you could forgive Shabbat and another Malacha just can bring one?
Yeah, so that's vis-a-vis Malacha. Meaning, and the Halacha is regarding Malacha that there's Chiluk Malachos. Right, we learned at the beginning, meaning for each malacha, you have to bring its own separate chatos. Now, not one. Now, there are occasions where you're going to bring one chatos, but that's for having forgotten Shabbos, and the next week having forgotten Shabbos, and repeating the same malacha. But if they're two different malachas, so then the malachas are mechalik, they divide. Here, it's not even that. It's more divisible. Because here it's eating and drinking, which is its own separate Issur on Yom Kippur, and then it's violation of Malacha. Okay. Acha ochlan sheinim ruin la'achil v'shasa mashin sheinim ruin la'ashtia v'shasa tzir o morius pater. You eat food or drinks that are not edible or drinkable. Just people don't eat or drink them. You're going to be exempt. Now, exemption means that you're not going to bring a carbon chatas. Certainly sounds like from the tone of the Mishnah, you can't do it. It's prohibited, but you're not going to bring a carbon chatas. Stay tuned when we get to the end of today's daf, which I doubt we're going to get to today. We will discuss. Okay, here is, can I summarize the next Amud of Gemara? From starting now until literally the middle of the next page. And I'm going to go through it relatively quickly. But here, it's just one issue, it's one problem. It's a basic problem, and the Brisa really is going to struggle with it. And that is the following. We just learned in our Mishnah that if you eat or drink on Yom Kippur, so that is a significant crime, one which, if you do so, b'mezir chayv kares, and if you do so, b'shogeh, you're chayv karban chatas. Right? It's serious. Whenever there is any talk of prohibition in the Torah and punishment in the Torah, so there has to be two psukim that we have to find in the Torah. One that spells out the azara, the warning, and a second that spells out the onus, the punishment. Okay. In terms of punishment, the Torah is very clear. Anyone who does not afflict themselves on Yom Kippur will receive karis. I'm paraphrasing, all right? I'm not quoting the pasuk inside. But in other words, the Torah is very clear about the punishment. Where does the Torah say the azara? Okay, think about it for a moment, and you will realize that the Torah actually never mentions the azara. The Torah does not say in Yom Kippur, don't eat. All the Torah says is, v'inisim es nafsho seichem. You will afflict yourself. Now, you understand, that's not an azhara. That's not a warning. That's not a lav. The Gemara is very clear. We'll get to Makkos together, right? In order for anything to be a lav in the Torah, it has to open up with the word lo, or al, or shmor, or pen, right? Those are the four key words that introduces a lav. We don't have that by Yom Kippur. By Yom Kippur, the Torah just simply says v'inisem es nafsho seichem. You will afflict yourself. So the problem is, and this is really the next Amud of Gemara is going to address, there is no lav in the Torah registered of don't eat and drink on Yom Kippur. Now why that should be, the Gemara is going to ask that question as well. But it doesn't exist. And so, ein onshin ela im kein mazirin. Well, you can only get punished if there was a warning, and there simply is no warning in the Torah. Okay? Everyone familiar with the problem? That's the problem. And now, for the rest of, not the rest of today's daf, but almost for the rest of today's daf, the Gemara is going to attempt to answer this. Let's go. I'm Rish Lakish. Mimnei malo nemra azara bi'inui. Why is there no azara? So Mishum de lo asha, the Gemara says, I'll tell you, the problem is, it's a pragmatic issue. It's a technical issue. The Torah can't communicate this to us. Why not? Heichi nichtav rechmena lo yochal. What do you want the Torah to say? Don't eat on Yom Kippur? Can't do that. Why? Because achil b'chazayas. Because then we would have assumed that the amount that you eat is a chazayas. And as we have learned, we spent the last 2 days learning, it's not a chazayas, it's a kosevis. And so therefore the Torah can't say lo sochal, because then we wouldn't have the right shear. So lo se'une. Now what do you want to say? Well, don't afflict yourself. Okay, what? Don't afflict yourself. Okay, you know what I mean? All right, the rabbi gets up there in front of the congregation. Gentlemen, eat. Don't afflict yourself. Right? Kome chol mashma. The Gemara says that means eat. So maskav la rev osha nichtav rechmani yishamer pen lo suna. So, how about a double negative? We love the double negatives. Be careful, pen, because maybe lest you not afflict yourself. I'm sorry. I'm not a fan of double negatives. It confuses me to no end. The Gemara says, okay, so can we use a double negative to say, be careful so that you don't not afflict yourself?
Why should the Torah
say
not to afflict yourself? What's the purpose of it?
We need the Torah to tell us not to eat. Okay. The Torah never says it. That's the problem. And what the Gemara is trying to do is, the Gemara is trying to rummage around and find, well, the Amoraim are trying to find out, is there a way for the Torah to say it? And the answer is going to end up being, not really. There's no way. There's no way to say it. Again, lo yochal, the problem is kezias, wrong shear. So now we're lo seuna, don't afflict yourself. That also doesn't work. So here the Gemara comes up with something which is a little bit convoluted. Hishamer pen lo seuna. Be careful so that you don't not afflict yourself. I'm out of this discussion. I mean, like, I literally...
Two negatives.
Yeah, two negatives.
It would be too unction, no.
So, Im Kain, the Gemara says, the problem with that is Nefishu Hulavi. So, yes, it may make sense, right? I'll emphasize the word may. So, it may make sense, but the problem is, now we have the word Hishamer, we have the word Pen, that gets us to two lavim. Now, it's interesting, because there are times in the Torah... We get to the Gemara and Makos, we're going to see this together, where there is one prohibition that has multiple lavin. But as Rashi here points out... Right, huh?
Yeah, it's two prohibitions.
Right, Rashi points out over here, the Torah doesn't want to give two lavin when it comes to Yom Kippur. The Torah only wants to give one lav. So the Gemara says, be careful with the affliction. And again, the word Hishamer being a lav. So the Gemara says it's not going to work. And why not? Because the word Hishamer kind of blends into the context. If Hishamer is associated with a lav, for example, Rashi says, Hishamer b'negat tzaras. Make sure, if you have tzaras, don't cut off your body. Hishamer, be careful. That's a lav. Here in this context, Hishamer b'mitzvah sinui, I need you to afflict yourself. That sounds like a positive statement, not a negative. Here's another suggestion. Don't deviate from the affliction. Okay? It's not bad. The Gemara says, Kasha. The Gemara says, you know what? That wasn't bad. Gemara says, okay, that's difficult. Why doesn't Torah say it that way? Gemara ends off with the word Kasha. You know, Kasha ends a discussion by basically saying, that's difficult, but we could think of an answer. Okay, I'm not going to suggest one right now, as I don't have one right now, but we move on. And again now, here we go. A long brisa, trying to figure out where in the Torah does it say that we're not allowed to eat on Yom Kippur. Where's the law recorded in the Torah? What if I do malacha during Tosefet Yom HaKippurim? Meaning, as we'll learn in just a moment, we have to add on to the day. The day starts at sunset. To make things simple, just agree. The day ends at sunset. The day begins at sunset. Prior to sunset, we have to add on some minutes in order to be Mosif on Yom Kippur. What if I do malacha during Tosefet? Is that a punishable act? No. It's prohibited, but not punishable. So, Tam Lamar V'chol HaNeshesh Asher Taseh Kol Malacha Be'etzem HaYom HaZeh. Etzem means during the actual day itself. So, Etzem HaYom HaZeh, Litzum HaShol Yom HaNashkaris Ve'ena HaNashkaris Al Tosefes Malacha. Fine. Ta'yachol Yeh Lo Yehei HaNashkaris Al Tosefes Malacha Aval Yehei HaNashkaris Al Tosefes Inui. What about Tosefes Inui? Once again, there's a requirement to add on to the Inui, which means that you got to stop eating, not at sunset, but sometime prior to sunset. This is, again, the idea of Tosefes Yom HaKippurim. So what if I eat during the Tosefes? Tam Lamar Ki Kol HaNefesh Asher Lo Seuna B'Tzem HaYom HaZeh V'Nichra Sa'ali Tzum HaShol Yom HaNashkaris V'Eino HaNashkaris Al Tosefes Inui. There's no punishment for adding for Tosefes. Yachol HaYeh B'Chol HaNash HaVayeh Mozeh Al Tosefes Malacha. What about just the lav? Is there a lav if I violate malacha during this additional period? So finds the Gemara says, no, not even a lav. The Gemara says, what about Tosefes Inui? The Gemara says, Kavachom, Uma malacha shenoeges b'Shabbos v'yamin tovim. Einu muzer alav. Einu sheinu noeg b'Shabbos v'yamin tovim. Einu din shelo yehi muzer alav. Can't imagine, says the Gemara. Look, you're not even over an alav for doing malacha during the period of Tosefes. And malacha is ubiquitous. We have malacha on Shabbos. We have malacha on Yontif. And meanwhile, if I do malacha during this period of Tosefes, I am not violating an isser. It's wrong, I can't do it, but I'm not violating an isser. So for eating during this period of Tosefis, there certainly is not going to be an isser in doing so. Again, it's wrong, don't do it, but it's not a lav. Avalazar li nu shal yom atzma lo lamanu minayin. Now the Gemara touches on really the fundamental question. Where do we find in the Torah where the Torah says don't eat on Yom Kippur? Where is the lav on itzumo shal Yom Kippur? So lo yomer enosh malacha de gamar miinui uma inui sheinu noeg b'shabbos v'yom entov emanosh karetz malacha sheno heger b'shabbos v'yom entov lo kol shekein lama ne'emar. So the Gemara says we'll learn it out based on, let's call it gzeira shava. Right now it's not 100% clear that this is gzeira shava, but let's say like this. Why does the Torah have to go out of its way to tell us about inui? So mufne lahakish v'ladom imenu gzeira shava. The Brisa calls it gzeira shava. Fine, let's call it gzeira shava. Nemar onish b'inui v'nemar onish b'malacha. It says the punishment by inui, it says the punishment by malacha. Ma malacha lo anash alem kin hizer. Now by malacha, the Torah does say, don't do malacha. Av inui lo anash alem kin hizer. So too by eating, we're going to transfer over the azhara from malacha to inui. So in other words, using the gzeira shava, we're now going to move from malacha to inui. Ikal amifrach, the Gemara says, yeah, but not a great gzeira shava. In fact, we can ask a simple question. Mala inui shalo huta mechala, tamar bamlacha shuhutra mechala. Inui, there's no exception, there's no exclusion for inui. And again, let's say what we've been saying now since the beginning of the perek, which is that when we say inui right now, we're talking about eating and drinking. There's no exception. Now granted, if it's a sakana, you eat. But short of that, however, there's no exception. By malacha, there are plenty of exceptions. Can you think of one? Took me a while, to be honest with you. What's the, what, huh? Beis HaMikdash, perfect. That's exactly what Rashi says, right? The Beis HaMikdash. You're doing all these malachas on Yom Kippur in the Beis HaMikdash. So there are exceptions to malacha. Ela lo yomer onesh bi inui de gamar mi malacha. Ma malacha shuto mechala onesh karis inui shalohuto mechala lo koshkein. Lama nemar mufta lahakish v'ladu mi menek zera shava. Nemar onesh bi inui v'nemar onesh b'malacha. Ma malacha onesh v'hizir af inui onesh v'hizir. So the Gemara says, fine. We'll just go in the other direction. We'll go from inui over to malacha. So the Gemara says, Hikala Mifrach, the Gemara says, once again, I don't know. Malam lach shekeinu agis b'shabbos v'yamim tovim. Tomer b'inu sheinu nag b'shabbos v'yamim tovim. I understand, malacha is more stringent. Malacha is ubiquitous. Malacha we have on Shabbos. Malacha we have on Yontif. We don't, right? Inui, one time a year where we have inui, minat Torah, Yom Kippur. Am Ravina haita, okay, period. Okay, what a strange ending to the Brisa. Meaning the Brisa is basically trying to uncover the source of where the Torah prohibits us from eating on Yom Kippur. What happened in the Brisa? We don't know. Meaning we try to go from Malacha to Inui. We try to go from Inui to Malacha. We were struggling in both directions. Am Ravina, we'll finish today with this. Am Ravina, Haitana, Etzem Gamar. So the Gemara says he really is learning it based on Gzeira Shava. Right? That's why I was hesitant to call it Gzeira Shava. Ravina says it is Gzeira Shava. It's based on the word Etzem used both by Malacha and by Inui. By Malacha, the Torah gives us the Azara and the Onish. By Inui, using the Gzeira Shava, the Torah is now going to give us the Isser and the Onish. Well, the Onish the Torah provides, but the missing of the blank, the fill in the blank is going to be the Isser. The Gzeira Shava is going to provide us that Isser. It's the Gzeira Shava of Etzem Etzem. Okay, we'll pause over here. Tomorrow we'll finish up. We gotta respond. Meaning, the question is, where is the Isser of not eating on Yom Kippur? So the Brisa gives a lengthy discussion. We're still struggling at the end of the Brisa. Ravina says it's Gzeira Shava. We still have more to go to finish up this answer.